What the world needs now is... Is it up there or no? What, how many people know the song? What the world needs now is love. Sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. It was a song written by an American, Burt Bacharach, back in 1965. This song is 60 years old, so it's like ancient stuff for a lot of you folks. But that's kind of the feel for it. And we would like to think that if we just had love in the world, if we could manufacture more love, then the world would be a better place, and certainly it would be. But the key is not just the love, it's what motivates the love. It's the power behind the love. And so for tonight, I'm going to ask you to think in terms of what the world needs now is light. What the world needs now is light. Now, I know that for some of you who are Advent wreath purists, you know that the last candle is supposed to be the candle of love. But for tonight, I'm going to violate that. I have checked theologically. There's no real problem with us doing this, but we're going to switch it to light tonight. And I have two reasons for wanting to do that. The first one is because light comes before the love. If we have the light of God, we have the love of God. Light is what produces, the light of God is what produces the love that would come. The second reason is because this Advent season we have been studying and preaching on Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 in particular. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, the passage of Scripture, that's in verse 6, verse 2, which begins this section of the prophecy of Isaiah, begins like this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Isaiah is prophesying. He's looking forward to something. He's looking forward to light being brought into a dark world. And he's saying in verse 6, this is the person who will bring that light. And these are the character qualities that he will bring, a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. But light has so many different symbolic meanings. One of them is to understand something. We say, I get it. I see what you're saying now. The lights, we have a phrase in English that's called the lights come on. It means that I now understand something. It's also clarity. All of a sudden we can clearly see something, and we say, I see it now because the light is better. It's also a symbolic meaning is hope. Oh, but we have another saying in English that says that there is light at the end of the tunnel, which basically means no matter how bad things are around us, we can see to the end of the tunnel and we see a glimmer of hope. We see light. It's also a word that stands for guidance. Light is guidance. And the Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my way. You try to walk around your house at night, even though you know where everything is, sometimes it's not there, and you trip and you fall on stuff because there's not enough light. Now, the immediate situation that Isaiah was looking at and talking about here was the Israelites in Israel, and they were under the oppression of the Assyrians. And what's even worse is that it got worse. He gave this prophecy and it got worse because the Babylonians came and took them into captivity. And they needed this hope. They needed this sense of peace and joy in their hearts as they were carried off into captivity because they wanted to know for sure that God would rescue them out of that. They had hope. They had peace and joy because of this. But Isaiah also had a far off fulfillment of this prophecy. He was also looking ahead to Jesus. Instead that way, it's talked about in John 1:9, one of the verses that was spoken right at the very beginning of the service. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This prophecy was fulfilled. The light on people living in darkness coming into their world was fulfilled in Jesus Christ coming into the world. But think for a moment about what it is like to live in darkness, to live in total darkness. We thought about the idea of trying to turn out all the lights in this room, because it would be a very, very dark room. And how do you feel when you're in that kind of darkness? There's a sense of anxiety and fear. There's no peace in darkness. There's hopelessness. I can't anticipate, look for anything else. There's darkness here, when it talks about the symbolic meaning or the fuller meaning of it, is that we go through the motions of living without really living. We don't really enjoy life because we're just kind of going through the motions. An American songwriter by the name of Jackson Brown wrote a song called The Pretender. And he wrote, I'm going to be a happy idiot and struggle for the legal tender, where the ads take aim and they lay claim to the heart and the soul of the spender, and believe in whatever may lie in those things that money can buy, though true love could have been a contender. And that's kind of the thing of the darkness of just living from day to day without any hope, without any joy, without any anticipation of something better. But living in darkness is also being spiritually separated from God. When God talks about darkness in His Word, He talks about not having a relationship, not having a connection with Him. And this is the gospel, that the earth was created as a place for God and people to live together, to have this sense of connection, connectedness. But sin came into the world, and it's kind of a radioactive environment where God could not live. When people sinned, God couldn't live here any longer. He couldn't be a part of this. It was a curse. And so Jesus came from heaven. He came from heaven to break that curse. And what He did was He decontaminated this world of it. And decontaminated all of the radioactivity of sin by His work on the cross. He did this dying on the cross, absorbing all the radioactivity of sin in His body so that we could be free, so that we could have a relationship with God. I wonder tonight how much of heaven's light is in your heart and in your life. How much of God's light is in your soul tonight? Because God wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you very much. He loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to decontaminate your life of sin and allow you to have that relationship with Him. But some of you might ask, I have prayed and I asked Jesus into my heart and all those other things. Why does it still feel like I'm in the dark? Why do I still feel darkness? Well, one of the things is that maybe you're not letting the light shine through you. See, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this, "You are the light of the world." You are responsible to bring heaven's light into the world around you. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, you put any candle under a bowl, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go out. The light will be extinguished. And when we try to hide our light, when we try to hide Jesus in our life, the flame goes out, the oxygen is sucked out, and the light goes out. And it's shining our light that gives life meaning and purpose. When we wake up in the morning and we say, how can I let the light of God shine through me? Every day becomes extraordinary. The second reason why the light, it doesn't feel like light in your life tonight, is maybe you're participating in deeds of darkness. John 3:19, it says, light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. You see, we're conditioned right now to live in darkness. We've lived in darkness so much. This world is so dark. It just, sin just comes naturally. Rebellion comes naturally. We are prone to radioactivity. But Ephesians 5, verse 8 says this, "For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness." You see, when we play games with God, we say things like, "Well, I know it's wrong, but it's complicated," or "you don't understand my situation." If we try to find loopholes in God's commands, well, we live in darkness. For a lot of Christians, the problem is not sins that we do as much as it's sins of omission, of things that we fail to do. Take, for instance, forgiveness. Forgive each other as God and Christ forgave you. And when we don't forgive, well, it extinguishes the light. Forgiveness is light giving. So maybe the deed of darkness for you is something that you haven't done for another. The last thing I want to bring out here about why you might still feel like you're in the dark is you've been wounded by the darkness. You've been wounded and your heart is pain because of not sin that you've committed, but sin that's committed against you. But Jesus came to release you from that. He came to heal that wound. He came to give you peace in the midst of your darkness. Acts 10:38 said it this way, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Tonight you might feel like you're oppressed and you feel the darkness, the heaviness. God, by sending Jesus Christ, wants to heal you. He wants to release you and free you. We sang about that on a number of those songs tonight. This is a description of the work of heaven's light. When heaven's light breaks through, the redeeming power of God brings you back to him. It is able to take back what the devil has corrupted. I wonder tonight, has the prince of darkness, the devil, has he wounded your soul with pain, loss, sorrow? Tonight's the night to come to him and to find the freedom by allowing the light of God to minister your soul. John 12:46 says it this way, "I have come as light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." Would you read that verse with me? Let's read it together. "I have come as light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." You see, Jesus came. Jesus came to bring the light of heaven to earth. He came to bring the light of heaven to your heart and to your life. What does it take to embrace that light? It's just to trust that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross has removed the curse from you. You're no longer radioactive because of what Jesus has done. So now you can live in the light of the presence of God. And as it said there in that passage from Acts, "And God was with him, God is with you." The wise men followed the light. That light, that star, they followed that star. Some people believe that they might have traveled for 3 months to get to see Jesus. And tonight, if you're here and you've never met Jesus, I encourage you to follow the star and find Jesus in your heart and your life. You see, in that day, in that day when Jesus was born, the wise men saw the star, but a lot of other people saw the star, but they didn't follow. And you tonight have a choice to follow that star and find Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Allow me to pray and ask God to meet us in these moments. Father, I come to you tonight, and I thank you for the light of Jesus. And I pray for the one tonight who has been oppressed by the enemy, who has been oppressed by the prince of darkness. And I pray, God, tonight that they would find in Jesus light and hope and help, peace and even joy in their pain. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for coming and bringing that light to our lives. We pray for the one tonight who is searching. They sense the star. They see the star. They want to follow the light. And Lord, we pray that you would show them Jesus and all his glory and all his goodness. We pray this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. And all God's people said, amen.